Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I will admit to you that when planning for today's scripture, I looked in the concordance under the word sheep. That list of scriptures that all reference a certain word, and I found this one, and I went with it. And then I read it. And then I read it again, and I thought, oh goodness, well, you already said yes. So, thankfully, my limited searching will hopefully not disappoint. It's a wonderful scripture that will help us wrap up our series on Jesus' call for us to feed the sheep. Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So I know we've only been together for a short time, about 4 months, but during that time, you might have already realized that I tend to gravitate towards the New Testament scriptures. I tend to step aside from the Old Testament scriptures, at least during our sermon time. I'm drawn to Jesus. I'm drawn to those teachings and those ways that we can be disciples. I like that action part. I like how Jesus not only called disciples, but invited connection, right? How Jesus asked the disciples to not only be excited about loving God, but to ignite other people's hearts to do the same, right? And in the process, lives were transformed. But I'm not a fool to know that we have to recognize our history. Something about, like, if we don't know where we've been, we don't know where we're going, right? Or we could accidentally get there again. I don't know, someone probably said that very, very well, I'm sure. But Jesus knew where he came from, and he knew the teachings of his religious community, the teachings his parents raised him up in, right? Jesus was a Jewish person who knew the scriptures. And so today we're going to look at Isaiah 11. And as we do, I'm reminded that from our past, from what we've been taught, is how we form our hopes and expectations for the future. I was told that this scripture is beloved by many because it articulates the deep and persistent human hope for justice and peace. I guess that's just part of us. And within our understanding of a Christian church, this text expresses the promise of a Messiah who will establish peace on earth. And who doesn't want someone to come in and save them? Right? Yeah, what more could we hope for than for the earth to be full of peace and for goodwill and promise and life to be shared in a wonderful way with everyone? It seems pretty good. And yet, if I tune into the current events of today, it feels like we are as far from that peace as any other time in history, at least perhaps maybe in just my history. And I don't know, I don't think it's just because we're more aware of what's going on in the other parts of the world, the brutal acts of hate and the wars. I don't think that it's just our awareness. I think there's actually a lot of violence. And I think if we knew more of it, it would be even more challenging for us. But today, this time of life, what's going on out there seems as big of a challenging time of life as any. And yet you chose to come to this place this morning, to walk in and be with your church family, to sit down, probably in your regular seats, right? and to expect, or at least hope for, a time of peace together. I got thinking about that, and I realized what an amazing privilege it is to do that. And yet, it's an expectation for me. It's an expectation in my world that I can come and do that, that I have the opportunity and the ability to enter a space and to feel the power and presence of God and then to leave without consideration of the rest of the world for like 58 and a half minutes. I get to have that time. Yeah. Reading this scripture from Isaiah, I want what the author wants. Those promises, I want those to come true, just as the people in the time of Jesus wanted them to come true. And they wanted it so badly that when he was walking right before them, they didn't even recognize him sometimes. I'm reminded, though, this scripture reminds me to look back at the story of Abraham. When we hear about that time when God called him, when God asked him to offer up his son Isaac on the altar as a burnt offering. Most of us cringe when we read this story. The very thought of someone being so dedicated to God that they would offer their most beloved in a way that feels ugh, to say the least. And yet we want to be dedicated enough to God to not only hear when God speaks to us, but to do our very best to respond. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know that I have the trust of Abraham. And I don't know if I believe that God would ask such a thing from any of us. From me or you. I do believe in sacrifice and the opportunity to give back to God and to let the little children lead us, but that practice, that offering, that cuts to the core of what I understand. I don't know, though, if in today's worship practice, at least how we do it here, if we have any sort of practice that feels as sacrificial as laying before God a burnt offering. Anything so wholesome as to sit and tend to the fire. I know some of us have given up our comfy chair or our favorite spot on the couch this morning, right? And some have given up their individual expectations or desired worship practices to do worship here together, even though we never sing your favorite song. By the way, you have a better chance of having your favorite song sung if you tell me what it is. Thank you, Brian, for the suggestion today. Yeah. We give up our time or our energy to build this community of faith and to be a part of it, to offer our gifts and our services, and we lay on this altar our offerings and our commitments, right? The ways we can participate, our financial gifts. We even lay on this altar our prayers. You might see me do that before worship. Yeah, or when the gifts come up. But as sheep who follow a shepherd that we call Christ, we have a lot of freedoms to wander and still be part of this pact. So besides the beautiful animal imagery and the mountain imagery in this passage, and the comfort that we get from reading a story of hope, even though we have the knowledge that Jesus is the Messiah and he already came and he died for our sins, what are we left to glean from this old scripture? That's up to you. I mean, I guess it's really always up to you, right? Whatever you come to worship with in your head, whatever stuff is filling you up, whatever interactions you had as you came in the door or as you prepared your hearts for worship this morning, that's what you brought to this scripture. Even if you felt like listening or not, right? Or if the voice gave you the right imagery as it was being read. Although, I have to say that's one of our really good voices. If you didn't hear God in there, you gotta listen again, right? Right? But whatever you come to the scripture with is how you're going to look at that scripture. If you're someone who feels like you've already given up everything this week, you're going to hear that and say, yeah. If you are tired, you're going to hear that scripture today and say, they got to lie down for a little while. Why don't I? Right? If you have been in a place of turmoil, you're going to hear the word peace in there and think, oh, there is hope. Right? If you have been wandering, you're going to say, it's okay. I'm just a sheep. Right? What you decide to take out of the scripture is, of course, as always, totally up to you. But there's a couple of messages that I hope that you will hear and take with you today. And some of them were recently reminded to me. You are not called to be the sacrifice of the world. Not you or I. Yes, you are called. Yes. Yes, yes, I'll look great at each one of you if I need to and say, yes, you are called, but you are not called to be the one. You're not the one who's going to bring salvation to this world, and neither am I. Nope. But we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. I hope that you'll remember that even when it's hard to tell the difference between friend and foe, that we need to love God's people. We still need to trust. I was reminded of that on my way here this morning. It was very dark driving. And I thought, oh my goodness. Trust has been one of the things I have needed to work on this year. And as I was driving, I thought, you know, we trust people in the other lane every day. There was one that looked a little untrusting, which is probably why I thought of it. But oh my goodness. I guess I do have trust because I'm still driving. Yeah. I think we have to remember that sometimes even our friends will hurt us, even if they don't mean to. And that doesn't mean that they should stop being our friend necessarily. In this scripture, I hear that we're supposed to trust in God and believe that Jesus offered himself for our sins. And that we should take time to lie down like the cow and the bear, eat together the straw like the lion and the ox, and to let ourselves feel peace and comfort, and that we can do that together. I also hope that in this scripture you hear that we, as the sheep, are to be together and to trust in the shepherd. I really hope that when you reread this scripture or hear it in your head, that you will paint for yourself the image that the author is hoping that you do. That even as we live through whatever we're living through today, that we can find a place of peace and that we can rest assured that God will provide the sacrifice. That we can rest assured that God will provide. Period. And a final thought. Jesus was and is to come, and always and forever will be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Thanks be to God. May us with all of our hearts trust in God, and with God's help, may we believe. Amen.